Okay, we're starting here on the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, 9 lines down. Boy minei achai, tana debei Rabbi Chia, chai, who is the name of an individual who learned in the yeshiva of Rabbi Chia, mi Rabbi Chia. He asked this question, he posed this question to Rabbi Chia. Behalel, umegila mahu shiafsi. So, we just dealt with Kriyat Shema, with the dinim of Kriyat Shema, with regards to where and when you're allowed to be mafsik, machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. The question now being posed to Rabbi Chia is, what is the din with regards to Hallel and Megillah? Me amrinan kal v'chomer. It's a kal v'chomer. Kriyat Shema del Raita. Pusik. Kriyat Shema, which is a mitzvah min haTorah, and yet you still have a dispensation to interrupt in the middle in order to be shuel mipnei hakavod, shuel mipnei ra, meshiv, so on and so forth. Hallel de Rabbanan. Hallel, which is only a rabbinic mitzvah mibayit. Why would you even have to ask a question? You're dealing with a doraita versus de Rabbanan. If you're allowed to be mafsik in doraita, certainly you're allowed to be mafsik in a de Rabbanan. Odilma, persume nisa adif. Or do we say that even though there's this distinction of doraita and de Rabbanan, nevertheless, Hallel and Megillah have an aspect of Pirsume Nisa, which we know in other occurrences and other issues has a certain amount of precedence to it. Pirsume Nisa gives strength to a mitzvah where we'll have requirements which we don't otherwise have in certain instances. So maybe over here, even though it's a din de Rabbanan or a mitzvah de Rabbanan, the Pirsume Nisa demands of us that we are not mafsik in the middle, because that will undermine or ruin the Pirsume Nisa. You can interrupt it, and there's no issue. You're allowed to be mafsik, just like you are mafsik in Kriyat Shema, so too you're allowed to be mafsik over here. Amar Rabbo, Yamim Sheyachid Gober Mehem Et Halel. On days in which the Yachid finishes the Halel, Ben Perek LePerek Posek, the Emtza Perek Enu Posek. Between the different paragraphs of the Halel, then you're allowed to be Posek, to stop, but in the middle of a paragraph, the middle of a Tehillim, you're not to be Posek. Yamim She'en Yachid Gomer Behen Et Halel. On days where the Yachid does not Gomer Lehel, Afilu BeEmtza Perek Posek. You can even interrupt in the middle of a Perek. Ini, is that really true? Vaha Rav Bar Shava Iklo De Gabei De Ravino. So he went over to Ravino. Yamim She'en Yachid Gomer Mehem et Halel Hava. It was one of those days in which the Yachid is not Gomer et Halel, velo posikle, and he didn't interrupt. So even though Rav Shavo went over to Ravino, he was not posik, he did not interrupt it. And we would think, mipnei hakavod, he should have been mafsik in the middle of his Halel. Says, shiny Rav Shar Bar Shavo, tol chashiv alei Ravino. Ravino did not feel that Rav Bar Shavo was choshuv enough to interrupt his Halel for that. So even though it wasn't in a situation where it was impermissible, it was permissible for him to interrupt. Nevertheless, he didn't feel that he had an obligation, mitzad hakavod, to interrupt his Halel. So now just to go back and explain, what does this mean that the Yamim should gomer behem to Halel, and Yamim she'en gomer behem by Halel? So we had in the Gemara in Arachin, lists 18 days in Eretz Yisrael where they are gomer to Halel, and 21 days in Chutz Laretz. And that is, we have the 8 days of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret. So we have the 8 days of Chanukah, that's 16. You have the first day of Pesach, which is 17, and Shavuot is 18. And in Chutz Laretz, you add on an additional day for Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuot, that gets you to 21 days, that Gomrim Vahem Et Halel. Those are days in which there is an obligation to finish the entire Halel. Other days where we say Halel, but it is not a chiyuv to finish the Halel on those days. Those are the latter days of Pesach, after the first day of Pesach, and on Rosh Chodesh, those are days where we today say Chatzi Halel. So Tosafot makes a couple of points about this, which is, first of all, in terms of Yachid, Yachid does not necessarily mean an individual. Yachid, Tosafot says, means even a tzibur. Anybody has to be gomer Halel, but they call the tzibur Yachid because it's not all of Klal Yisrael together in one shot saying Halel, like we have by the Korban of Pesach. It's like every tzibur says their own Halel, so they're called Yachidim. But it's not particular to a Yachid versus a tzibur. It means anybody who says Halel on these days finishes the Halel. Now, in other places, the Rishonim discussed the fact that on days where we're not gomer to Halel, that the Yachid may not be able to do this without a minyan, that you might actually need a minyan to say Halel in instances where there's no chiyuv Halel, not on those 18 days or the 21 days in Chutz Laretz, unlike Rosh Chodesh or the 8 last days of Pesach, that you might actually need a minyan to do it. We say the chatchila you should do it with a minyan, but there are more paskins that b'diavad, if you don't have a minyan, you can say it b'yachid. The second thing that Tosafot mentions is that the gomer et Halel is not that on these days you finish Halel, and on the other days you have an obligation, but just not to finish the Halel. And those other days you have no obligation to say Halel whatsoever. There's no obligation to say Halel on Rosh Chodesh, and there's no obligation to say Halel on the latter days of Pesach. We say Yachid Gomer Behenet Halel, that's an obligation to say the full Halel, but you don't infer from that on the other days there's an obligation to say a Chatzi Halel. There's no obligation whatsoever. And the reason that we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh and on the latter days of Pesach is simply due to Minhag. It has to do with Minhag Avotehem B'Yodehem, that they used to say a Chatzi Hallel, and that we continue that Minhag to say Chatzi Hallel on those days. But again, it's a Minhag, not an obligation. Why that is relevant is with regards to Bracha. We have a Gemara in Sukkah. Gemara in Sukkah says that when it comes to a Minhag, you don't make a Bracha. So over here, if there's only a Minhag to say Chatzi Hallel, then why are we saying a bracha on it? And that's exactly what the Machzor Vitri says. The Machzor Vitri says there's no bracha on the Chatzi Hallel, and that is the practice of the Sfaradim until today, that they do not make a bracha when they say Chatzi Hallel. On the other hand, the Ashkenazim follow the position of the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rabbeinu Tam distinguishes between an action like a tiltul ba'amma, where you carry around the arava, that's what the Gemara discuss in Sukkah, that in that case you don't make a bracha on a minhag. But over here, where you are saying the Chatzi Hallel, you're giving praise to Hashem, then you certainly can be mivarech. And he says it's no worse than a case of mitzvot asei shazman grama, in which a woman obligates herself. Again, that same distinction between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim exists. A woman who chooses to perform the mitzvah of lulav, who chooses to perform the mitzvah of shofar, according to the Mechaber, she does not make a bracha on it. Similarly, over here, they don't make a bracha on Chatzi Hallel. Things that you're not obligated in, yet you do anyway, so you don't make a bracha. On the other hand, the Ashkenazim are consistent in the fact that women who obligate themselves do make a bracha when it comes to mitzvah asei shazman grama. So too over here, if Chatzi Hallel, we do say a bracha on Chatzi Hallel because we are saying that even though we're not obligated, we're saying it, and once we're doing that mitzvah, then we should make a bracha on that mitzvah. One of the proofs to that position of Tosafot is our Gemara over here. Is our Gemara over here is talking about Hefsek in a case of Yachid that is Gomer Tahalel, and a Hefsek in a case of Yachid, She'enu Gomer Tahalel, which means that the Gemara views that there's a problem of Hefsek both in days when you say a full Hallel, and a problem of Hefsek on days that you say Chatzi Hallel. As Tosafot points out, if on a day that you say Chatzi Hallel you didn't make a bracha, what's the issue of Hefsek? Why would you even have an issue of Hefsek according to the Gemara? The context in which we find Hefsek is all about bracha, and has nothing to do with the actual content of what you're saying. If you're incorporated or encompassed by a bracha, then you have a problem with Hefsek. If you don't have a bracha, then there's no problem of Hefsek. Other Rishonim might believe that the Persumei Nisa aspect of Hallel might give it a certain amount of import, to which you cannot be mafsik willy-nilly, that you have to take care to not interrupt while you're speaking to Hashem, because of that Persumei Nisa, and the same will be true with Kriyat Shema. Even though Kriyat Shema is found in between the brachot, and that might be the reason you can't be mafsik there, but the other reason possibly by Shema why you can't be mafsik is because it's Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, it's a certain amount of import to that bilayim when you don't interrupt for no reason when you're speaking to Hashem. So those are probably the machloket Rishonim over here, with regards to whether this is a proof to the fact that you say a bracha by Chatzi Hallel, you don't say a bracha by Chatzi Hallel, but it does seem from the Gemara that there is this issue of Hefsek in Chatzi Hallel, and that does make you lean towards the Tzad, like the Tosafot, which is that they did make a bracha on Chatzi Hallel. And now the Gemara continues. Ba'imine Ashian, Tana Debe Rabbi Ami, Mi Rabbi Ami. So Ashian, who was one of the Talmidim in Rabbi Ami's yeshiva, asked Rabbi Ami, Asherui Bitani, Mahu Shiitom. And what is the din with regards to someone who is fasting, that they want to taste something? They need to taste the dish to see if it's ready, if it's spiced properly, can they do that? The Yitzur by a Tanit is eating and drinking, and he's not eating or drinking, he's just getting a taste, a little flavor of the item, and that's not problematic. Oh, or maybe the restriction of a Tanit is that you get no benefit at all. And if that's the case, Vaika, when you taste it, you do get some benefit, you do get some flavor with regards to the ti'ima, and therefore it would be asur. You can taste it and there's no issue. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a braita that supports that understanding. You just taste something, you don't swallow it, then you do not require a bracha on it. And someone who is fasting may taste things, and that's not an issue. Ad kamo, how much can you taste? What is the shi'ur that's still considered tima? V'ami v'vasi tame ad shi'ur revi'i oto. Until a revi'i taluk that is considered to be fine in terms of te'ima. Now, we do have some qualifications to this din that are brought down by Tosafot. Tosafot mentions one qualification, which is that this is only mashma from the Lashon of our Gemara that we're talking about a tanit yachid, about an individual who accepted a tanit to fast upon himself. But this is not true of a tanit zibur or the taniyot that are mentioned in the Navi. So the taniyot that we fast on, those would not be included in this heter of te'ima. That's the first qualification of Tosafot. The second qualification of Tosafot is you have to spit it out, that you may not swallow it. So when we say over here you can do a te'ima, you must then spit out whatever you have in your mouth, because if you swallowed it, then it would be problematic anytime. Swallowing would make it into some sort of form of achila shtia, and that would clearly be problematic. So here the te'ima is only good if you spit it out. What's interesting is that the Shulchan Aruch, when he codifies this halacha, actually has nafka mino to for the taniyot that we have, and that is in Hilchot Taniyot in a Siman Taf Kuf Samach Zayin in Siv Gimel. Shulchan Aruch writes, Misha Darkol Derchotz Pib Shacharit, the person who normally rinses out his mouth in the morning, Betanit Zibur, he does this on a Tanit Zibur, Lo Kasha Lameved Hachi, it's not a good idea, it's not the proper thing to do. Aval Betanit Yachid, Shari. But if it's a Tanit of a Yachid, then it's Mutar, Kevin Shepolet, because he's spitting it out. So that's our Gemara over here, which the Tosva makes that distinction, saying Tanit Yachid is fine, Tanit Zibur is problematic. And also the qualification based on the Rach that you have to spit it out. And so Shulchan Aruch brings all of these. And he does mention, which is not consistent with our Gemara, that it's afilu yesh b'mayim sh'ocheitz yoter mirvi'it. Even if there's more than rivi'it with the water that he's using to rinse out, that is still fine. The Mishnah Brura brings on this Shulchan Aruch, who says that it's not proper to do this on a Tanit Zibur. He says, u'mamakom tzar, if a person's in a situation of pain, anguish, difficulty, we can have a dispensation for in any tanit zibur for a person to rinse out their mouth. Just make sure that you tilt your head over and your mouth over towards downward. So nothing reaches his throat. Even on Tisha B'Av it may be mutar. When it's tremendous difficulty to him. And Yom Kippur, he says, definitely not worth taking that risk. And it should be machmir in this. And this is a heter for some of those people who are in such pain or anguish or difficulty, if they don't rinse their mouth or they don't brush their teeth, that they possibly could do it even on a tanit zibur, based on this Mishnah Berurah. Both the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch frown upon this, but the Mishnah Berurah does write that if a person's in a difficult situation, that he may use this dispensation. The Mishnah Berurah brings down, well, of many of the Rishonim, that the four taniyot that we have for the Churban HaBayit all really should be taniyot zibur, and you should have to keep all the chamesh and inuim. We just don't. It's too difficult. We don't do it. So we only do it by Tisha B'Av. But the other 14 taniyot have residuals of being taniyot like Tisha B'Av of taniyot zibur. And real taniyot zibur has a higher standard in terms of the inuim and anything that you can do. By taniyot yachid, we have a lot more room to maneuver around and to be matir. Amarav. Person who greets his friend before he's davened, it's as if he's made him a bama, a mizbeach that's not to Hashem. Shenemar. The pasuk says, "Chibul lachem min adam, asher nishama be'apo, ki bameh nechshavu." This is the end of the second parak in Yishayahu. Over there, it's describing how Hashem's presence is going to become, and everybody is going to hide from the fear of Hashem. And the parak concludes with, "Chibul lachem min adam." Cease to rely on a person or look to man, asher neshama be'apo, because he's just human. He's just a mortal being. What is so important, or why do you consider man to be anything special? So he says, al tikra b'meh ele bama. Don't read it as b'meh nechshav, but rather bama nechshav. So chidul chemin adam, asher neshama be'apo, leave or cease to rely or talk to man, ki bama nechshavu. If you do speak to him and you ignore Hashem and you go to the man first, then he is like a bama. Ul Amar, like the Pashtut of Pasuk, which is Bameh, Chashavtola Zeh, Velo Leloka. So how could it be that you gave Chashivu, consideration, importance, this individual and not to God? And that's a rhetorical question that's being asked over here. And you can read it then, Ki Bameh Nechshavu. How is he more important than God? Meite Rav Sheshet, what about our Mishnah? Biprakim Shoel Mipnei HaKavod, Umeshiv. Our Mishnah says that you're allowed to interrupt Kriyat Shema, which is dealing with Hashem, in order to speak because you owe honor or kavod to an individual. So if that's the case, it sounds like you can interrupt in order to speak to man. So why are you bringing this din over here, that if you speak to man before or give a greeting to man before you daven, that this is problematic. So Targum Rav Abba Mashkim LePitcho, depends on what the situation is. In a situation where he goes to his friend's house and puts himself in a position where he's going to greet him, or he will have to greet him before he davens, that's problematic. And that's what we're speaking about in these memorot over here. What our Mishnah is speaking about is a case of chance. He chanced upon someone while he was davening, or someone chanced upon him while he was davening, then he can ask or respond based on the qualifications of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. But the reason is because it was happenstance. It wasn't something that was planned. But if you plan to go to your friend's house before you daven and you're going to greet him, that is problematic. So Amar Avidi bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ashiyan, Asur lo adam lasot chafatzav kodem shitpadol. It's improper for a person to deal with his personal needs or his issues before he davens. Shinemar, the pasuk says, tzedek lefanav yaleich, yasim lederach pe'amav. So tzedek lefanav yaleich means that the tzigut, or the righteousness, or go before him, but over here tzedek means to be matzdik Hashem, matzdik that Hashem is the ruler, that's through tefillah. Then, yasim lederach pe'amav. Then only afterwards, you put your feet to the way, you take your footsteps and move forward in your ways. V'am ravidi v'avin, am ravitzok v'arishiyan, kolam itzpalel, v'achar kach yotzeh lederach. Anybody who does this properly, I mean, davens first, and then afterwards goes out to his travels, Hashem takes care of him. Shinamar, tzedek lefanav yalech, person who davens, then, vayasim lederach pamav, Hashem will take care of his footsteps, meaning that he will send him on the proper way and take care of what his needs are. So, Amar Rabbi Yona, Amar Rabbi Zera. Kol alan shivat yomim b'lo chalom nikra ra. Any person who sleeps for 7 days and doesn't have a dream is an evil or a bad person. Shinemar. Pasuk says, Visaveya Yalin Bali Paked Ra. Way the Pashtuta Pasuk is, the one who is satisfied or satiated, Yalin, will sleep, Bali Paked Ra, and nothing bad will happen to him. Now the Gemara says, Altikra Saveya Elasheva. Don't read it as Saveya is satisfied or satiated, but rather as seven. And so now the Gemara is reparsing the Pasuk to read, Visheva Yalin, the person who for 7 days goes to sleep, Bali Paket, and gets no visitors, comma, Ra, he is bad. So they reparse the Pasuk to get the conclusion that they're looking for, the drush out of the Pasuk, which is instead of saying Bali Paket Ra, which means nothing bad will happen to him, rather it'll be Bali Paket and he's not visited, Ra, that is bad. Amar Le Rav Acha, Breda Rav Chia Bar Abba, Hochi Amar Rav Chia Amar Yochan, Kolam Azbiya Atzmo, Midivrei Torah, Velan, Eim Avasim Ato Besorot Ro. This is reading the Pasuk Pashtut, that a person who satisfies or satiates himself with Divrei Torah and then sleeps, Eimar Vesimah Tov B'sorot Rot, he never gets any bad news. Shenemar, Seveya Yalin, one who is full will rest, Bali Paked Ra, nothing bad will be visited upon him. So now the Gemara says, Eluhein Ben Aprakim. What are these Ben Aprakim that we mentioned in our Mishnah? So Amrei Ba'am Riochan, Aloha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Aloha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to interrupt between Ani Hashem L'Keichem and Emet. We put them together. Damar Ben O'Keichem L'Emet V'Yatziv Lo Yafsik. So Amar Rabbi Bo, Amar Rabbi Yochan, my tamei de Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says in another context, Vashem Elokim Emet. So we see that formulation is a proper formulation, and since the pasuk we find it saying Vashem Elokim Emet, that therefore we too, when we say Ani Hashem Akechem, we also add Emet to that. Chozer ve'omer Emet, Oeno Chozer ve'omer Emet. When we start out Yivyatziv, do we say Ani Hashem Akechem Emet, and then start out Emet ve'yatziv? Because the Emet will be both for the end of Vayomer, as well as the beginning of the new bracha of Emet V'yatziv. Or, does one suffice for both? So, Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Chozer V'omer Emet. So, Rabbi Abba, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, says you do go back and say Emet again. Rav Amar, Eino Chozer V'omer Emet. Rav, on the other hand, says you do not repeat the Emet. How denachid kamei de Rabbo? Shame Rabbo de Amar Emet Emet. Someone who went down to be the Chazon, to Yored Lifnei Teva before Rabbo, and he said Emet twice. Say Emet Emet Trezimne. I'm a Rabbo called Emet Vemet Tafse Lahai. So this person, I don't know if he's stuttering or he got caught up in the Emet, and so he said it more than once. It wasn't necessary, but he said it multiple times. I'm Rav Yosef Kalam Al Yahash Maitita. How wonderful is this memra? The Chiyata Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Imre Amre B'Marav Arvid in Eretz Yisrael, in the West. In Eretz Yisrael, they used to say in Mariv, Dabero B'nei Yisrael, V'amarta Lehem. So they used to begin the Parsha of Vayomer of Tzitzit. They would say up to Dabero B'nei Yisrael, V'amarta Lehem, and then they'd skip and say, Ani Hashem Lokecham Emet at the end. So Amalei Abaye, Mal Mal Yuta. What's so good about this Memra? Why, Rav Yosef, do you think this is so great? You don't have to begin the Parsha Vayomer. But if you do begin it, Gomer, you have to finish it. The reason in Eretz Yisrael they had this practice was because the mitzvah tzitzit does not apply at night. So the only reason to say Vayomer is because of Yitziat Mitzrayim. And so they skipped the content that dealt with the tzitzit. So what are you going to suggest now? When they in Eretz Yisrael said the Bel B'nei Tzor Marta Lehem, that wasn't enough of a beginning. That's not considered a beginning. You just say v'daber b'nei Yisrael, that's not considered beginning that paragraph. V'amarta lehem, but if you get to v'amarta lehem, that is considered beginning the paragraph, and then you have to finish it. Samra papa kasavri b'marovo. In Eretz Yisrael, they believe v'amarta lehem nami lo havi atchala adamar v'asulehem tzitzit. Until you reach the point of v'asulehem tzitzit, it's not considered to be the beginning of saying that paragraph, and if you haven't begun to say, you don't have to finish it. On the other hand, if you do get up to the point of a Sulam Tzitzit, then we will require you to finish the paragraph. So in Eretz Yisrael, since they only got up to Amarta Lehem, they skipped the remainder of that paragraph and moved to the end to get to where they wanted. Now, Amar Abaye, Hilkach, Anu Atchulei Matchilinan, we begin that Parsha, the Kamitchalei Ba'amar Rova, because in Eretz Yisrael, that's what they do too. So we, just like in Eretz Yisrael, they start the paragraph, we do too. V'kemet Atchilinan, Migmar Nami Gamrinan. But we don't hold like Eretz Yisrael, where they think a beginning is only when you get to a Sulam Tzitzit. We think that the beginning is once you've reached Vamarta Lehem, and that's already considered a beginning. So therefore, since we say that far into the paragraph, we have to finish it. You shouldn't begin it. If you do begin it, gomer, you have to finish it off. So he said, Amar ani Hashem lokechem, tzarich lomar emet. If you say ani Hashem lokechem, then you must say emet. If you say, meaning the parsha of Vayomer, then you must say the parsha of emet yatziv. Lo amar ani Hashem lokechem, if you don't say the parsha of Vayomer, then you don't have to say emet v'yatziv. Says, what happens to Yitziat Mitzrayim now? There's no more mention of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Both in emet v'yatziv as well as emet v'munah, you have a mention of Yitziat Mitzrayim, as well as in the paragraph of Vayomer, Enochi Hashem Elokecha she'otziticha me'eretz Mitzrayim. So there has haskarat Yitziat Mitzrayim. If you eliminate both of them, like what Rechiya Barav is saying, then you won't have a mention of Yitziat Mitzrayim, because you're missing both the paragraph of Vayomer, and you're missing the Emet V'yatziv or Emet V'munah afterwards, so you won't have any mention of Yitzir Mitzrayim. So Amar, V'abay Lidkori Yitzir Mitzrayim, Amar, so he does, he has a replacement paragraph. He says, Hachi, Modim anachlo lach Hashem Elokeinu, shotzeitanu meretz Mitzrayim, uftidanu mibeit avadim, vasita lanu nisim ugvurot aliyam, v'sharnu lecha, and we sing praises to you. So he said, Hashem, we thank you and we admit that you took care of us and took us out of the Mitzrayim. You redeemed us from slavery, and you did for us wonders, unbelievable miracles and strengths. Aliyam, on the splitting of the Yamsuf, and then we sang to you, and then you continue. Micha mocha be'elim Hashem, micha mocha neder b'kodesh, and you continue on. That shira that was said at the Yam, and you continue on with the rest of the bracha after Kriyat Shema. So first of all, what's interesting here is that Gemara assumes that you do say Yitziat Mitzrayim at night, despite the fact that in the previous Mishnah, at the end of the previous Perek, we discussed the fact that there's a machloket between Rav Elazar ben Azariah, ben Zoma, and the Chachamim. The Chachamim believe that there is no din of Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. It's only din of Yitziat, or mentioning Yitziat Mitzrayim during the day. Whereas, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and ben Zoma believe that there's a mitzvah of Skirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, even at nighttime. Over here, the Gemara takes it for granted that there is Skirat Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. So there are different ways to solve that problem. The Tzlach wants to suggest that Mishnah may not even have a machloket. Even the Rabbanon agree to the position of Elazar ben Azariah and ben Zoma. They just don't agree where he learns it from. They don't agree that it's learned out of the Pasuk, but they agree that the din is that you have a need for Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. On the other hand, you have the Rashba, who quotes a shita from the Raivud. It seems to make a lot of sense that what we're talking about here is a din de Rabbanon, that the machloket and the Mishnah is on a Doraita level, on a Torah level. Is there a requirement to say Yitziat Mitzrayim or mention Yitziat Mitzrayim at night? And that's the machloka between Elazar ben Azariah ben Zoma and the Chachamim. On the other hand, with regards to a din derabanan or a chiyuv derabanan mention Yitziat Mitzrayim, over there, everybody agrees that that's the case. Even ben Zoma, even Elazar ben Azariah agreed to that. And that's why the Gemara takes it for granted over here that you're mentioning Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. Right now, the Gemara continues. Amar Bishur ben Karcha, Lama Kadma Parshat Shema. So in our Mishnah, we have a description as to the order, or the reason for the order of Shema Vayem Shemo Vayomer. So now we have a different explanation. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, B'din Hu Shabdim Shema Vayem Shemoa. Makes sense that Shema should go before Vayim Shema. Shezelu mod. Shema is about learning Torah. Vezelu lamed. And Vayim Shema is to teach. Vayim Shema de Vayomer. And Vayim Shema precedes Vayomer. Shezelu lamed. Vayim Shema is about teaching Torah to others. Vedemata motamet benechem. Vezel asot. And Parshat Vayomer is about doing. Vasulam tzitzit. Mara says, wait a minute. Atu Shema lo mod. Itbe lamed velasot leitbe. How could it be that Shema is only about learning Torah? It's not about teaching Torah, it's not about doing mitzvot. V'aktiv, v'shinantam, says that you have to, v'shinantam levanecha, you have to teach it to your children. Ukshartam, uktavtam, and you have to put on tefillin, you have to write mitzvot. These are all actions. So it has, l'umod, l'lamed, l'lasot. V'tu, v'yayim shmo, l'lamed, hu, d'itbe, l'lasot, l'itbe. V'yayim shmo, only it has about teaching Torah, it doesn't have anything about doing. V'aktiv, ukshartam, uktavtam. So you have the same tzivuim with regards to the tzibur found in v'yayim shmo. You have to reword that statement of Shema Yochai. Bedinu shetagadeim Shema l'vayim Shema. Shema should precede vayim Shema. Shezeb l'mod ulamed v'lasot. Shema has all of these aspects. It has about learning Torah. It has about teaching Torah. V'lasot. And has a action or doing of mitzvot that's found in it. How do you know you have to learn? Because if you're demanded to teach Torah, then you can only teach Torah if you learned it. So far, therefore we have learning of Torah, teaching of Torah, and doing. Vayim Shema v'yomer sheze yesh ba l'lamed. That has about teaching Torah, v'la'asot, and doing the mitzvot. Shartem uchtavtem. V'yomer ba, in ba'la la'asot bilvat. Only has this tzad of asiya associated with it. And so therefore, because of the content of the Shema, v'yom, Shema, and v'yomer, that will provide us a hierarchy of what to say first. It says, v'tipiklei me'ev shu ben karcho. Why does Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai have to come up with a different explanation if Rabbi Shimon bar Karcho already gave us an explanation in the Mishnah? Chada v'od kamar. It's giving us two reasons. Chada k'deisha k'dobel olav o'ma chut shemayim t'chilo. Just like Rabbi Shimon bar Karcho says that it makes sense to have the Kabbalat o'ma chut shemayim in the beginning. V'achagachi b'ol olav o'ma mitzvot. And then afterwards you accept the yoke of mitzvot. V'od. In addition to Amishum dit ba'hani mili achrinita. It has all of these other wonderful things associated with it, and that's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So you have two reasons, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Shimon bar Karcho for the order. The Sefot says, why doesn't the Gemara just simply say it's the order in the Torah? Shema comes before Vayayim Shema in the Torah. Why isn't that the reason for the order in the Parshiot? The Tosafot says it's clear that that's not the answer, because Vayomer is found in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshat Shlach, whereas Shema and Vayayim Shema are found in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshat Etchanan and Parshat Ekev. So, if that case is order, then Vayomer should have been the first. The fact that Vayomer is already not the first indicates to us that the order that's written in the Torah is not relevant, and as Tosfot says, Ein Muktam u'Muchar b'Torah. So that's not the relevant variable that's telling us which to say first. Rav Mashi Yodei v'kara Kriyat Shema v'anach tefillin v'tzali. Rav washed his hands, he said Kriyat Shema, put on tefillin, and then davened. He says, V'eichi Avir Hachi, how could he do such a thing? Vatanya, don't we have a braita that suggests that that is not the order in which you do things? Because it says, Hachufer koch lemet, someone who is digging out a catacomb for a niftar, is digging into the stone, they're carving out an area where they would place the body. Patur mikriya shema mina tefillah. Umina tefillin, because he's osik mitzvah, he's patur mina mitzvah. Since he's dealing with the mate, he doesn't have to say kriya shema tefillah. And also from tefillin, because he's osik mitzvah. Mikol mitzvot amurot b'torah, and any other mitzvah of the Torah. Higia zman kriya shema. Zman kriya shema comes, ole, v'notel yadav, he goes out from where he's digging. He washes his hands, minich tefillin, puts on tefillin, v'kore kriya shema mitvalel. He says kriya shema and he davens. He says hagufa kasha. That braita doesn't make any sense. It said before you're patur when you're digging, and now all of a sudden it says, oh, when the time comes, you come up and you say, kriyat shema and put on tefillin. So when it says, reisha amar patur v'sefer chayav. So there's an inconsistency here. Alokasha, sefer betrei v'reisha b'chad. Same time when you have two people that are digging, then one can continue digging, and the other one can perform whatever he needs to, which is come out, wash his hands, put on his tefillin, say kriyat shema and davin. V'reisha b'chad. And the reisha is a case where he's the only person there, and therefore he can't leave his station. Mikom makom kasha. It's still a question, the Rav. Because over here in the Braita, it's clear that what you do is you wash your hands, you put on your tefillin, and then you say kriyat shema and then shemon esrei, your tefillah. On the other hand, what we have is Rav first washing his hands, saying kriyat shema, and then only putting his tefillin on afterwards. So therefore, Rav, Rabbi Shimon ben Karcho svirle, Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Karcho, damar o malchut shemayim tchilah, that it makes more sense to do o malchut shemayim before you do o mitzvot, and that's why you do achar kach o mitzvot. So he first does Shema, which is Kabbalat O Malchut Shemayim, and then he puts on Tefillin, which is an O Mitzvot. Shimon Karcha is a good enough reason in terms of reading the parshiot in which order to read them. We have no way of knowing when it comes to reading or saying Kriyat Shema versus doing what the hierarchy should be. The two, does Rav really hold a Rav Shimon Karcha? Chia Bar Ashi says there were numerous times that I was by Rav. Umakdim, he got up early. Umashi Yadeh, he washed his hands. Umivarech, he said Birkat Torah. Umat Nilan Pirkin, and then he taught us the Sifra de Bei Rav. Umarach Tefillin, then he put on his Tefillin. Vahadokar Kriyat Shema, and then he said Kriyat Shema. So the same orders we had in the Brayta here, where Rav is putting on Tefillin and then saying Kriyat Shema. Chitei Medelo Matazvan Kriyat Shema. The reason he did it in that case in that order was because it wasn't the time for Kriyat Shema yet. So therefore he put on his Tefillin and waited for his Zman Kriyat Shema. It says Imkein Masadate the Rav Chia Bar Ashi. Then what's the testimony of Rav Chia Bar Ashi have any impact? If you say that it wasn't Zman Kriyat Shema, then he's not proving us to anything about the order and the way that Rav conducted himself. This comes to exclude, counter the one who says that for Mishnah you don't have to make Birkat HaTorah. And this is the context in which we brought this down originally, was that we prove from Rav that you do say Birkat HaTorah even though it's not a Pasuk or Mikra. So here you see by Mishnah they did make a bracha. After Mishnah, Tzamech Levarech. Even for Mishnah you have to say Birkat HaTorah. So now, sounds like that's a real problem for Rav, because we still have the original statement where Rav is putting on tefillin after he said Kriyat Shema, and the Braita is saying to put on tefillin before he said Kriyat Shema. So when I say Shlucha Hu Da'avit, it was a mistake by the messenger. I mean, the person who was taking care of Rav, he forgot to bring his tefillin. So Zman Kriyat Shema was passing, so Rav had to say Kriyat Shema. And then he waited to get his tefillin afterwards. When the shliach came back, he brought him his tefillin. So it was a practical consideration, not a halachic consideration, as to why he changed the order. So we can't learn anything out of that if it's simply a practical solution. Samarlua kolakore kishmaya below tefillin. Anybody who reads Kriyat Shema without having tefillin on, kilu me'id edut sheker ba'atzmo. It's as if he's bearing false testimony. Now, atzmo here is a euphemism, not himself, but false testimony against God, because he's saying to do this mitzvah, and he's not doing the mitzvah. So I'm Reb Chia Bar Av, I'm Reb Yochanan, kilu yikriv olah b'lo mincha, v'zevach lo b'nisachim. As if he brought an olah without the mincha that's supposed to accompany it, or he brought a zevach, he brought a shlamim without the nisachim that are supposed to accompany it. Or you can also say it with olah b'lo nisachim, because an olah also has a requirement of nisachim. In those cases, even though you're mekayim the mitzvah, it's not the full-fledged mitzvah that you're supposed to do it. It's not the chatchila way to do it. So to hear by Kriyat Shema, even though when you don't have tefillin on, you're still yotze in the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, nevertheless, when you have tefillin on, that only it serves to enhance and make the mitzvah a better mitzvah. And then you have the statement of Ulo, who says that it's even a stronger statement, that it's edut sheker if you say Kriyat Shema without tefillin on. And so therefore, we try to make sure that we have tefillin on before we say Kriyat Shema. And Tosafot wants to suggest over here, based on the actions that we saw here, there's a possibility that you could put on your tefillin and talit between Gal Yisrael and the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. Because over here we saw what Rav did. He washed his hands, he said Kriyat Shema, he put on his tefillin, and then he davened Shemoneh Esrei. So you see, he put on his tefillin even though it was in between the Geula and Tefillah, an area where we say you're not allowed to be mafsik for anything between Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei, and yet here he's putting on his tefillin and his talit with a brocha. So Tosafot goes through a number of iterations, and in the end comes back and says, I don't think you should make a brocha when you put on your talit and tefillin between Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei. He also says that tzitzit are less important than tefillin, and so even if you were to say by tefillin that you did need, you could say a brocha, or you did need to say a bracha, that may not be true by talit. And the last thing that he points out is, maybe Rav put it on without a bracha, and therefore it's not a hefsek, because he simply put it on without a bracha, and then after you finish Shemoneh Esrei, you move it around, you touch it, and then you make the bracha then, after the fact. So it's a possibility that you don't have any proof from here that you're allowed to interrupt between Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei for these items, because their proof from here may not be conclusive in terms of Rav putting on his tefillin there, because he could put on his tefillin without a bracha, and only made the bracha later. And so the way we pass on the halacha is that you're not allowed to interrupt for anything between Gal Yisrael and Shemoneh Esrei, and if you do, by some chance, get tefillin in between, you can quickly put them on without a bracha, and then after Shemoneh Esrei, be mashmesh on them, and make the bracha. Okay, we'll stop over here.